Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We believe you will be blessed as you listen to this message. May God bless you.
Now tonight, for a very short time, I want to give you some more reasonings why ministry is work. And I just want to describe, I'm still teaching from Bishop's books. I want to describe why it is difficult to lead people, making the work very difficult. Hallelujah. And as I'm describing the various people I'll describe now, also try to find yourself if you are one of them. And if you are one of them, change yourself. Amen. Tell your neighbor you are not saying amen at the right time. There's seven people, 7 points tonight. And if you find one of them is you, or as I describe them, I'm describing you, you better change, my friend. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you find yourself here, it means that you are very difficult to lead. You are a problem. And you are making this work difficult. And you are going to find such people as you do the work in your Bible study groups. Hallelujah. I think I need my phone to keep time. Oh yes. The first type of people who make ministry difficult and make it hard work are people who are ungrateful and forgetful. Ungrateful and what? Forgetful. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2. Umudimu wa Israel, umudimu wa Israel, nitola ha ki Jehovah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2. Are we there? The Bible says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Hallelujah. Are we in the last days? Yeah. When did the last days start? When Jesus went to heaven. That was the beginning of the last days. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Now, Paul is describing to Timothy what will happen in the last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. You know, I can have a whole series just teaching about these types of people. Proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Hallelujah. Unthankful. One of the reasons why people don't show gratitude is because they forget. They forget who helped them. They forget who was there with them in their lowest point, in their lowest time. They forget who loved them and cared for them when everybody forgot about them. And because they forget, they lose or don't even think about saying thank you. They lose that ability to be grateful because they forget. Hallelujah. When you lead people, one of the things that you will notice is that this is a reality. People easily forget, and people are not grateful. My gosh. I always tell you about a group of people who used to have meetings, they'll hold meetings after service against my preachings and probably slander me and what have you. I remember one of them. You see, before this church got built like this, we only had a roof, and this that is now concrete used to be earth. It was to be ground there. Nhlabathi. And then that wall used to be like two brick walls up. And I remember we were sitting right where the media was sitting. But the people were sitting down facing there, and I was sitting and facing them. And one of these people was telling me that, "Pastor, since I met you and since I came to this church, my life has changed." And the person told me how the person used to, it was World War III in their home between the person and their spouse. To the point that the spouse said, "Since you've gone to that church, you are different. You are not the same." Hey! Then one day, I'm busy minding my own business preaching here. Inside, the person is roaring, waiting for the service to finish, and then call their group of people. And then if I was there, they would be holding a sword and just there, or stabbing me at the back, I think is the term. Hey, you know, when you look at me like this, I look okay, but a part of me looks like Jesus, with stripes on my back and knives and what have you. My gosh. It is something that you have to expect. It is painful. It is hard because you can't do this work without loving the people. You can't. Now, it becomes painful because the people you've shared your heart to and the people you've loved, they forget. And they show their ungratitude with their actions. As you do this work, and if you do it faithfully, and you do it from the depths of your heart, as unto your God, God will use you to change many lives and to help many people, which is what we are here to do, by the way. Many people have thought that ministry is wearing shiny suits. I'll never forget, many years ago, I had a dream. And in this dream, I'm walking and I see a big tree. And I notice that under the tree, there are people who are having church. No building, no pulpit, no stage, no decor, but it's a church. They were meeting under a tree. And I saw myself going and I was watching the church. And the Lord made me see something, and it's difficult to describe. I saw a lady sitting there at church, and it was like her skin changed and her skin became transparent. And when the skin became transparent, I noticed wounds all over her body. Are you following? And these wounds, it's not that somebody had beaten her, but sometimes in dreams you just know things by the Spirit. And I realized that it is the wounds of life, maybe betrayals, disappointments, all kinds of difficulties that she has been through. So when the Lord made me see that lady and made me see the pain she's been through in her life, I looked at that pastor and I felt so grateful in my heart that that pastor is there having a church under a tree. I was so happy. See, this is the work of God. It's not shiny shoes, shiny suits. God has called us to his people who have all kinds of wounds that they are suffering from. Sita was just telling me that somebody came to their Bible study group. I don't know whether it's earlier this year or last year. And the person was there and everyone was sharing. It was nice. And as they're about to end, they asked the new people, "Do you have anything to say?" And this person said, "I hear everything you are saying. But I just have one question. When I was going through one, going through two, going through three, going through four," and the person mentioned the things they went through in life, he said, "Where was God?" Hey! "When I was going through this, going through that, going through that, where was he?" I hear what you are saying, the scriptures, yeah, thank you. But just answer me this question. I'm just showing you that people have been through things. Amen. And these are the people we are called to. Not, we are not called to wear shiny shoes and shiny suits. Now, when you've worked hard, shown people love, and people have seen Christ through your life, and the wounds were healed, and the people start knowing one or two things about God, then they forget. They forget. It's difficult. But what do? We keep working. We keep moving forward. Because there's another one who needs us. Whom God has called us to. Amen. Yeah. And we have to show that one love like we never got hurt before. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, besides even people behaving in that manner, there's the simple forgetting, you know, some of you, my church members, some of the troubles that you go through in life, we can just go to the website and go to the sermons and say, "This message, I was talking exactly about what you are going through." Amen. But you forgot. You forgot. And we warned you. We said, "That thing is dangerous." And when you came out of church, you said, "Woo!" Hey, Anna! We just told you. How can you forget so fast? You've already forgotten. Hey. You should never say, "You church member, you at all. You look like pastor is talking about you." That's how it looks to some of us, you know. You speak to the people. You advise the people. You give them scriptures and you break it down and you preach in series. I mean, over a month you are dealing with the same thing. And you record it for them. And you put it in a website for them. That anytime they feel like going to listen to it and revive themselves and remind themselves and encourage themselves, the minute they face that thing, all the hard work gone down the drain. Forgotten it. How do you forget so fast? Oh, There's a message. I just forget the titles of my message. But I remember one time I preached here. And I warned my young sisters. And I said, there is something out there that is hunting for you. That is hunting for you. That is searching for you. And it wants to bite you. And a person will walk out the church and go hunt for the thing that's hunting them. And you'll be sitting down and you're now hearing now because you will get into problems and disaster. I remember one time I preached here and I said, for as much as is possible, live with your children. For as much as is what? Possible. And I said, the children will eat what you eat. The children don't care. And one of my church members back then was living with their children and went to the husband and said, husband, Can one of our children go and stay with my mother? The mother was Komahaeng. So I'm not aware. You see, they're discussing with the husband. And the husband said no. I think the mother asked for the child to come and stay with her. I don't know why. And the husband said no. And you see, women, when they want, they can make you do anything. Go ask Adam, he will tell you something. Go ask him. He will tell you a story. only when they want. And so the husband said some words. The husband said, if that child goes, it's your own thing. So through whatever the child went, Goma Hayeng. Are you following? Are you still here?
Yes.
Now when the child got there, the child started having bad friends and started bullying people in the school. And it seemed like the child was now becoming a gangster. And almost every day, every second day, there was a phone call from Goma Hayen. Your child is, your child is, your child is. So we didn't know. We just went to visit. You know, practicing what I was just teaching you. Prayer, visitation, counseling. So we went to visit. When we got to visit, we heard all these stories. And as I'm sitting there, I said, but I preached this thing. I preached it. But you know, you can't say, you see, I told you. You can't. I was just listening as they were describing the problem. So now this person went to the husband now to go tell the husband, look, do something. The husband said, it's your problem. I told you, I don't want anything. I told you this child mustn't go. You said the child must go. I don't want anything to do about it. Eish. That's why sometimes when I'm preaching, I feel like you are looking at a clown and Mickey Mouse. Like as I'm preaching and I'm sharing scripture, you are looking at a clown, just someone who's just making you smile and laugh. I couldn't believe that the thing I warned about, the person went and did it. And now it has become an animal and a disaster in their home. People forget. And they don't just forget, they forget fast. There's a scripture in Matthew 13 where it says, a man went to sow seeds. You know that scripture. Some fell by the wayside. And when Jesus explained, he said, the birds came and they what? Some of you, like that ground, it's like the seed never enters. The minute you leave the church, the enemy just takes every seed that we've been trying to plant in your heart. It is something that you have to be ready for and prepared for. Because as you work, as you teach, as you counsel, as you guide. Shockingly, it's like the people, have you seen like a small child? If you put hot water here, and there's so many things in the church, there's chairs, there's instruments, the child will move straight to the hot water. Have you seen that about children? Church members are almost like that. Hallelujah. So you have to be ready for it. And sometimes it will hit your heart, but you keep pressing.
Amen.
You keep moving forward.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. And sometimes when I preach, because when I preach certain things, imagine if I was saying what I just said, and I told you the story I just told, and the person to whom it happened to is sitting here. As I'm preaching, the person will be looking at me, not knowing that I also have to warn another one. And now I warned you, you didn't listen. But I must warn another one. Maybe the other one will listen to me. Hallelujah. Can you ask your neighbor, why do you forget so fast? Why? What are they saying? Ish. Number two, people will betray you. Psalm 41 verse 9. The book of Psalms 41 verse 9. Are we there? The Bible says, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, had lifted up his heel against me. Hallelujah. Yeah. David was speaking prophetically about what Judas was going to do to Jesus. And David himself was also betrayed a lot. And one of the persons who betrayed him was his own son, Absalom. Absalom was hunting his father and wanted to kill his father. And one of David's close counselors went and joined Absalom in the mission to take over the kingdom and to kill David. Hey, I forgot that guy's name. Huh? I can't hear you. Ahithophel. Yeah. The Bible says that guy, when he gives you advice, it's like God himself is giving you advice. So when David was on the run and he got a chance to pray, he said he remembered Goliath. And I had one stone and I knocked him out with one stone. And he said, God, I just have one prayer. Ahithophel. 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 Make his advice useless. Because he knew that was the most dangerous person there. And the Bible says, Ahithophel came to Absalom and told him that give me 3,000 men now. And I want to go. So he knew that to kill David, you need a minimum of 3,000 men. You can't go there with 100. You can't go there with 1,000. You need 3,000 men. And he said, give them to me now and let's hunt him down while he's still on the run before he settles down. And David had his own guys there. And they said, no, no, no. And they changed their advice to something else. And Absalom went with those guys' advice, who was David's people, disguised as though they are with Absalom. Ah, sometimes when you read the Bible, it's like you are watching a movie. Hey! Like the one happening currently in this country. Hallelujah. When Ahithophel noticed that they didn't take his advice, he said, we are dead. We are dead. Because these people don't know who they are dealing with. David is anointed. You don't give him a chance. He said, we are dead. And if memory serves me right, he committed suicide or something, because he knew. So David had one prayer and he just said, Lord, Ahithophel, if that stone can hit Ahithophel, I will survive this thing. And God heard his prayers, and indeed he survived. But the point is, people will betray you. Be ready. When someone you don't know betrays you, it doesn't really impact you. But when somebody who is close, somebody you have trained, somebody you have taught, somebody who have spent energy, time, finances, sacrifice for the person, when that one betrays you, it's a scar. It's a scar. There are people who have left the church, and I saw it long time that they are going to leave. But still, when they leave, it's still a scar. Still a scar. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Ask your neighbor, have we dialed your number yet, or we are not there yet? We haven't dialed your number. Okay, not bad. Hallelujah. But be ready for it. I'll never forget one day Mom Ruti told me something so painful. When we left our previous church, when we started this one day Mom Ruti was walking somewhere there by TUT, the one in Acadia. Is it Acadia or town, whatever? And she met one person who used to be our member there. And Mom Ruti was ready to greet the person. Oh, how are you? The guy, as though he's seeing a ghost, he ran away. When she told me, so what? At least fake it, my friend. Just fake it. Oh, how are you? Long time. Are you okay? No, and then go. But you just boom. My gosh. Hallelujah. So be ready for all. Especially if you're going to commit, be devoted. You'll be surprised how people will betray you. How people will talk about you behind their back. The same people that you just showing your love. You are caring for them. Giving them God's word. Saving them by the grace of God and the call of God upon your life. Saving them from eternal damnation in hell. And they thank you by betraying you. Betraying your trust. That's how people are. Hallelujah. Number three, people are wicked. Wicked, wicked. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Are we there? Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what this guy did, but Paul felt it. That guy, Alexander the coppersmith. Hey! He did me much evil. Hallelujah. Many years ago, we didn't have a keyboard player. And and one brother came to me Because, you know, when you are used to the keyboard, and then suddenly there's no keyboard, it takes, the services don't feel the same. Are you following me? And according to my, how I was raised in ministry, I don't believe in paying people to play. Hallelujah. Like now, if Malume is playing, and now I must pay him. So does that mean I must also pay the people who are singing? I must also pay the ushers. Everyone who does something in church now, we have to pay the media also. Were we going to be able to build a church if we are paying everybody in the church? So, even though people knew that we don't pay instrumentalists and whatever, one brother came to me and said, "Pastor, let's just pay someone. Let's just pay someone." And I understood because, we were clapping hands. Hey, the services were very tense. And I just explained to the person that, no, we don't do these things. Hallelujah. And you'll be surprised how some churches and some men of God are also so wicked. I remember one time, I think it was during COVID-19 or just before COVID-19 took place, there was a young girl that we were training to play the keyboard. And we had organized her to go to keyboard training, and we were paying for her to be trained. Are you following? And then while she's being trained, where she was staying close to a church. And she was practicing during the day. And the pastor of the church heard her practicing. And the pastor said, "Come to my church, I will pay you for playing." You are not interested where the person is from, the sacrifice that has been taken to, you just want to just uproot the person and just, hey, wicked. Wicked pastor. As I'm moving around, I don't just listen to others. Ooh, here there's a nice drama. And I'll now be waiting. I'll go to church and sit down and I'm eyeing the drama. And then after service, I go talk to the drama. No, wickedness. Full-fledged wickedness. Hallelujah. I was taking you somewhere and I off-ramped. I forgot where I was going. When I off-ramped to tell you about this pastor who's wicked, I forgot where I was going in the first place. Hallelujah. So, there is sometimes in the work of God, you'll encounter people who will become wicked. Are you following what I'm saying? And the wickedness has varying stages. There's a wickedness where a person is just evil. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. I now remember. So, we didn't have a keyboard player. And people are now putting pressure on me that, "Pastor, even if we pay someone." Then one brother came to me and said, "Pastor, I know somebody who can come and play for us in the church." And I said to the person, I don't want just a keyboard player. I want someone who will be a son or a daughter in the house. Are you following what I'm saying? And this brother assured me that, no, he's a good person. So the person came, and before I knew it, he was already on the keyboard on Sunday. And the person was playing. And man, he was playing nice. Man, when he played, I could feel the anointing. Hey! So, I asked the brother, "Did you tell him everything about our church?" So, "Pastor, I told him." So, "Do you tell him we don't pay people?" "Pastor, I told him." Week one comes. Week two comes, and we are starting to see red flags. By week 3, the brother left the church. When the brother left the church, come and see the praise and worship now coming to tell us everything that this brother was doing. But why were you not telling me when he was still there? The things he was saying. Like, let's say he will make an example. They are practicing, right? And then he will say something. No, let's be serious. Some of us could be making babies right now. That's the type of language that the guy was speaking as he was playing in the church. And was trying to propose the sisters in the church in the praise and worship. Wicked! When we are saving souls, him is seeing bread, he's seeing manna. That you can chop. What a wicked person. Hallelujah. Yeah. And the brother, I noticed, he started asking me for money. The first time he came, he said, "Pastor, my car is stuck there," because the brother apparently had a, he was doing driving school or whatever, something like that. And he said, "My car got stuck wherever. And he told me. And I said, "Okay, I'll see what I do." When I went home, I thought about it. And I realized that because he knows that we don't pay people, he has told himself that they will pay me whether they like it or not. So he was now manufacturing all kinds of things to make us pay him without, you know, paying him, so to say. So I sent him a text. I said, "We don't have money." And phew, gone, left the church. Then after the praise and worship came one by one. "Yo, Pastor, this guy's ass saying you should have come and told me day one." Hallelujah. Amen. So every now and then we find people like that in our midst. Who, when you are just trying to work, them they'll be just there with their wickedness. Amen. The most recent I've found that some new sister came to our church and some brothers in the church are proposing the new sister. The sister who just arrived. Someone say, "My gosh, my gosh." As we are putting stones together, we are building. There are some people who are not in the mood of aching anything. They are breaking and taking the bricks away. Wicked. Wicked people. Wicked. You should never say wicked, man. Also, you, if you're a sister and you allow yourself to be taken, you are wicked also. After all my teachings, here's this wicked person comes and takes you, and you're also being taken. Hallelujah. So don't be like Alexander the coppersmith. Number four. People can abandon you suddenly. People can abandon you suddenly. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul was preparing Timothy nicely, telling him about all these types of people. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Are we there? "For Demas had forsaken me." Hallelujah. Mamru, please read for me where I'm reading from. They've cut the scripture.
2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia.
Amen.
Amen.
So Paul had a brother whom he was working with. And as they are doing the work of God, preaching, going from place to place, all of a sudden Demas decides he's leaving Paul's ministry. Out of the blue. I'm leaving. And Paul explained to us why he left. He said, having loved this present world. I'll never forget one day. It was an Easter conference in the church that we were raised. And I remember, you see how David was making us run now. So it was during praise and worship. And the ushers decided to, you know, I saw them at the back during one of the songs that was nice. They organized themselves. And there was one brother who wore like a garment like he's Jesus. And then the other brothers would follow him like they are the disciples. I can't remember the song. So the brother started, I saw them starting to come down. And the brother was, but I noticed he kept looking back because he didn't trust these soldiers. That by the time I come to the front, I'll be alone. And when he looked, they were still coming. And he looked, now he gained some confidence. The brother was dancing. Before he knew it, he was alone. Mercy. That's sometimes how working with people is. You prepare, it's a Thursday. Last week, you were full. The place was full. And you're excited that, man, last week it worked. And this week, and you prepare the chairs. And you put the chairs with the excitement of last week. And you are speaking in tongues. And as you are preparing, one thing you must not like to see is phone call or text before a ministry meeting. They can never be good. Or a please call me or anything. I used to suffer from such on Sundays. As I'm getting dressed, I'll get a phone call. I'll just tell Mom Ruthie, "Ish, bad news." I answer, "Pastor, I can't make it to church today." "Ish." "Okay, I understand." Now I'm wearing my pants, and now a WhatsApp comes. And I say, "Pastor, this is, I can't make it." "Ah!" By the time I come to church, I'm walking like this. So all these phone calls and WhatsApps and messages that are coming. Hey! People will just drop you. Just abandon you. Just disappear. When you thought that, when you expected them, when you were confident, they just... One thing that people never understand, you see, many people don't have the ability to put themselves in another person's shoe. Imagine if you were the leader. You are the leader, and the people are texting you and calling you, and as you are working and trying to build this thing, how discouraging, how tiring. And then some don't even call. Have you noticed? Have you felt how you are expecting someone? You see, like now I don't see Carol, but my eye is always looking for Carol. But now it's almost time to close and she's not arriving. Have you been in such a meeting where you are busy and you're, it's like you are expecting, but the people are not coming. They don't text, they don't, nothing, nothing. Absolutely zero. And you even have to text them, where were you? What was going on? This and this, but why didn't you say? Why? Why did you make me think that I'm going to war with many people, Gundam alone? At least if I knew I was alone, I was going to prepare my mind that I'm alone. I was going to prepare my heart that I'm alone. And prepare for the battle that I'm alone. But you deceived me. And you made me think that we are many, but I'm alone. Hey, imagine going to war with such people. When God had called Gideon and had told him to arrange people to come and fight, I think about 30,000 people came. And the Lord told them, he said, tell all the people who are afraid and whatever, tell them to go. And a large people left. Why would God make an instruction like that? Because when the enemy comes, and you are thinking that you have confidence that we are many, run away. Before you know it, you are small and you are facing a big enemy. That's what many people do to us in the spirit. Eesh. If you have an experience, it's coming, my friend, because that's how people are. Up until they start growing. When they start growing, it becomes better. But up until then, they will drop you. I'm trying to find an example that they'll drop you like what? The only one that comes to my mind is like a sack of potatoes. I don't know. They just leave you. Just abandon you. There was another guy called John Mark. He was working with Barnabas and Paul. And all of a sudden, John Mark decided to leave them and went back to Jerusalem. Then one day, Paul and Barnabas were going for another mission. And Barnabas said, let's call John again. Paul said, who? Never. The guy who left us like that? Never. And they had a huge argument that Barnabas and Paul were split up. And Paul went with Silas and Barnabas went with John Mark. But I just discovered that some time later, Paul forgave John Mark and told one of the people, call him because it's profitable. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, are you an abandoner? Yeah? Do you have the abandoning anointing? What's your neighbor saying? Hey. Well, they are not here today. They've abandoned us. Mercy. Hallelujah. Number 5. People are equalizers, disrespectful, and impudent. People are equalizers, disrespectful, and impudent. Numbers 12, verse 1 and verse 2. Equalizers, disrespectful, and impudent. Mamruti, please read for me. Numbers 12, verse 1 and verse 2.
Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord had heard it.
Amen. Yeah. So Aaron and Miriam, that why is Moses thinking he's special? God also speaks to us. Hallelujah. And they in their mind, they are bringing Moses down to earth. Like Moses has think he's too high. Hallelujah. When you deal with people, there are some people who struggle with honoring authority, with honoring the set people that God has given. There are people who struggle with that thing. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One day we went to visit a church member, and we visited the person. It's a husband and wife. We went and visited them, and then after the visit, a week or two later, the person was telling us that we visited that, you know, the husband was saying, "Hey, but your pastors are young." And he said, "They're around this age. They're." And I was just asking myself, why does it matter? Why does it matter what age they are, your pastors? So as we were sitting there, the person was listening, and then no matter what we were saying, they were just looking at the age. And just bring us down to say, no, they are not serious people, they are young. That is equalizing people. It's like you bring them down to your level to say we are the same. And then once you've done that thing in your brain, then you lose respect. You lose, you know, reverence for the gift. You don't look at the gift, you look at the person. Yeah, yamkala. The word impudent is similar to equalizing. Hallelujah. So you'll find a lot of that. That as you do the work of God, you find other people, maybe you invite a person, maybe they're from another church. When you speak, they are weighing you. He's weighing you. Because by nature, that's how people are. They want to bring you down to themselves. To their level. Hallelujah. Yeah. All these types of things make it hard to lead people. Because when you are saying we are doing this, they don't feel like doing that because until they've brought you down. So we are the same. So who are you telling me? Even if Jesus has come and told you to tell the person, because they don't see anything God in you. They just see we are same, same. In fact, I can even do this thing better. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. And it makes the work very difficult. I often tell people that God has brought you here for a reason. For a reason. Whether you are older than me, whether you are younger than me, whether you are married, whether you are not married, whether you have money, whether you don't have money, I don't care who you are, but for the fact that God led you through that door, it means that He wants you to come and get something from this boy that when you look is a boy. Hallelujah. Otherwise, it would have been the opposite. I would have left here to go where you are. But for God to bring you here, it means that there's something that is here that you don't have, that I want you to have. But when you equalize like that, you miss it. Many people have left this church uncooked. Uncooked. As we are starting to put spice on you, gone. Heaven, you are
cook, my friend. Nobody can eat you in this level. Nobody can enjoy you. In fact, if they try to eat or enjoy anything from you, they will get sick. That's why you see many pastors out there, they are doing things that are very strange, because they were not cooked enough. And they left uncooked, raw. They are busy feeding people. Raw. And destroying many lives. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, don't leave the church uncooked. I know myself. I know my messages are not nice. I know. And I know that they can burn you. They can burn you. Sometimes when I preach, I feel like I just want to look upstairs, because if my eyes are looking, you think that I'm talking about you when I'm just talking, I'm just giving you the word of God. Hey. The Bible says the word searcheth the intents of the heart. It's not me, it's the word. So if I preach the word, it will search the depths of your heart. It's not me. But you see, that's the cooking process. If you allow yourself to be cooked, by the time that God is done with you, when you step out, many people will want to hear from you. Many people will be blessed by you. Yeah, but you ran while we were still. We have just put you in the cooking pot and already you are running away. Some of you, we haven't even put the spice yet. So you are raw and spiced as you are moving around. Namans awagabili. As you are moving around. Hey! Listen, 2 weeks ago, I preached such a powerful message. I don't know whether you caught it. When I spoke about serving your generations, and I spoke about it from this church, how this church is serving its generation. I presented the vision of the church. I presented where we are going, what we are planning, how we're gonna do it, what we believe in. How many churches do you know that laid and presented openly like that? Clean. You can see that this is what they believe, this is where they are going, and this is how they're going to achieve it. Man. And you leave. And you leave. A place that has given you exactly where it's going. How it plans to achieve and to get there. And you go to a strange place that you don't even know what they are doing, where they are going. Just because you like that they wear a shiny suit and they speak in a fancy way. Hey. Number? People are disobedient and rebellious. Disobedient and rebellious. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 19. I'm about to close. Please read for me quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 19.
First Samuel chapter 15 and verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you stoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?
Amen. This is Brother Saul. When God told him to go and kill and destroy everything, they decided to save some things. And even said, God, some of them we are bringing to sacrifice to you. Sacrifice the thing I said destroy. Hallelujah. And so sometimes leading people has this problem that people are disobedient
Hallelujah. One of the things that I noticed start happening to the to our church, and I want you to notice it and correct it. Hallelujah. Sometimes if I give an instruction, you'll find a person, they'll continue doing whatever they were doing after I've given the instruction. They just continue doing what they are doing as though I've not given an instruction. And many a times when they do something like that, what I've told them to do, they end up not doing. It's disobedience. It's familiarity. That I come and I tell you, do 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Or someone knows, I will tell Sise, do 1, 2, 3. And Sise will go to Mpilo and say, okay, go do that thing. When I give the instruction to Sise, But there was a time when I said, can you please fetch that thing? Okay, Pastor. Now, I said, can you please go? He said, okay, I will go. And then you continue whatever you are doing. Hey. What a shock. Push your neighbor and say, be careful now. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Hallelujah. Yeah. And some of you are doing it in the Bible study group level. Bible study group level. That person you are disrespecting in that Bible study group, I sent that person. And without you knowing, you are disrespecting me direct, live. And when I get report of how you are disrespecting that person, I take it that you are disrespecting me. Because what you are telling me is that, Pastor, you don't know what you are doing by sending such a person. I take it personally. You are talking to me. And I receive your message. And I've marked you from that day on as a problem child. You continue disrespecting the people I've sent. And when I was saying, who wants to go serve God? Who wants to do this? You sat down. You sat down. You sat down. And then the person said, Pastor, I will go. I'm willing. Then when the person is obeying me, you go and disrespect the person. Why didn't you stand up when you had the chance? And the last one. People do not understand and do not respond. People do not understand and do not respond. Matthew 13, verse 19. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19.
Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. Mm-hmm. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart.
They this hear the word of the kingdom and what?
And does not understand
it. And they do not understand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is another thing that makes the work of God very difficult. Where you are leading people who don't understand and who don't respond to what you are trying to do and where you are trying to lead them to. Are you following what I'm saying? It makes the work extremely difficult. It's like trying to push an 18-wheeler truck. Because you are dealing with people who do not understand. Come to Tuesday services. They don't understand. Come for this thing.
come for turnaround hour. Hey, we are doing this. They don't understand. When they have problems, we have to jump and run. But when we are trying to prevent the problems by all these various things that we have placed, you saw a clown and someone who doesn't understand. Hey, pastor, we are tired. Hey, pastor, this. Hey, pastor, this is it. Hey, pastor, this isn't it. And you don't know that we are preparing you for tomorrow. We are preventing situations and disasters that are longing for you. Longing for your life. Longing for your future. Longing for your destiny. You just don't understand. Let's do Bible study groups. And people are just sitting, watching TV, yawning. Let's read our Bibles. Don't understand. Buy a Bible. Nothing. Hello? Amen. Leading such people is difficult. Difficult. Hey. Tell a neighbor, it seems like the message is about you. Have you noticed it's about you? Very difficult to lead. If you could only see the vision I have about you and where I want to take us. If only you could understand and we run and we push. Instead of being difficult, let's push this thing. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's time to understand where we are going, what we are doing, why we are doing it. Don't just be here as an empty person who doesn't know anything, doesn't understand anything. My gosh. That's why as we are building the church, you'll be proposing the sisters. You don't understand anything we are doing. Can you imagine, Gateko? Imagine you are new in the church. And somebody comes and proposes. You've just arrived. What are you going to think about the church? And this one is not a church. Huh? It's a shame. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, one of the ways that you're going to understand is by spending time with God. The more that you spend time with God, is the more that you'll understand what we are doing. And the more you'll be useful to what we are doing. Hallelujah. If you don't spend time with God, you will not get it. And then every time, it's like you are a wall that we are trying to push. And you are always resisting because of your lack of understanding of what God is doing in this church. Hallelujah. Yeah, and then you'll fight us to try and make us something that we are not. Like I'm not a prophet. And you can't make me what I'm not. I'm not. God has made me a pastor. And I like being a pastor. And I enjoy being a pastor. Yeah, don't come here and make me feel bad that I'm a pastor. Hey. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, say, look at all the churches. I'm sure there are many prophets. Tell your neighbor. There are many prophets. You can just walk out and find a prophet. There are many. Hallelujah. Yeah. Some of them even go to the mountains that they sit under trees and they are prophets and they have a title. You can just go there and bow on your knees and then they prophesy. Don't try to make me something I'm not. I have a call of God. I have a mandate. I have a mission that we are trying to achieve. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. So begin to understand and let's flow.
so that we can achieve what God has called us to do. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, I don't know if you have seen these things happening. Our Bible study groups have fairly new. And you are also fairly new in the ministry. But I'm preparing you. It's coming. But even if it comes, we press on. Hallelujah. Yeah. When it comes, just come and say, Pastor, remember what you taught us. This is now what is happening, what is happening. And then we'll give you advice and also, okay, you do it this way, you do it that way, and we keep moving. Hallelujah. Push your neighbor, say, we keep moving. Put your hands one last time for Jesus. Let's rise to our feet.
Thank you for listening to this powerful word of God. We believe you are blessed. For more inquiry, please visit www.healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call us at 072-591-2858. May God bless you.